What's up, pizzas? On August 25th, 2018, a gunman opened fire at a Madden tournament in Jacksonville, Florida. At the time of me recording this right now, not much is known other than the fact that there have been multiple fatalities. And this episode of the show was recorded prior to the incident, and thus we did not address it. Our hearts do deeply go out to the players, attendees, staff, and their families for all affected. Expect us to talk about this much more in depth, possibly on the next episode of the Video Game Bang. So before we get into the latest episode of VGB, let's just observe a brief moment of silence. Thank you. What is up, my party pineapple pizzas? This is Corey Vincent, and you are listening to the Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. Those days are gone. Well, okay, I was cleaning out my clothes, and I threw away all my old NerdReactor stuff.
Cleaning out my closet.
But, we'll get to that. But we're really brought to you by Gamersubs GG. Just got a new flavor on the market, that strawberry starburst.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got to get that some of that ASAP. Also, we're brought to you by Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Sacramento's number one place for comics and coffee. They're a double threat. And if you get lucky, you'll see us there. And that's a triple threat. They have a great drink named after us. This very podcast has a drink called the Video Game Bang Blast. It's a blast of strawberry and... what is it? It's not strawberry.
It's some strawberry.
It's There's a berry.
Berries and...
It's orange.
Nope, that's the...
Oh, that's the shock
tail. That's the shocknado.
Oh,
my God. Oh, man.
How do we go through this every single time?
Shocktail.
Shocktail.
Nailed it.
Who else are we brought to you by? Vast GG. Tell them about it, David.
Vast GG is your all-in-one gaming marketing company to market your giveaways.
And you're like a mod in their Discord. Like, you've taken over.
I'm like I'm a community manager.
Damn.
Yeah.
Son.
I'm a manager.
Where'd you find that?
Don't worry about it.
I was asking.
Oh, where did you find that? You, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. David, welcome to the show, dude.
Thank
I love
you.
It. We're both rocking the mainframe hats.
Oh,
not a sponsor,
yes.
But we do appreciate them.
Yes. But hey, we're open to sponsorships.
We're open to sponsorships,
mainframe.
Of course, all the time. How you been, man?
Doing good. Felt like I was hungover today. Played Minecraft for 9 hours.
Good God.
Minecraft.
It was
hangover.
Longer than 9 hours. It was longer than nine
well,
hours.
Well, it was longer for you. I was only on for 9 hours.
She's longer than 9 hours. Emma Skies, you heard her voice. What's up?
I didn't consent to that.
I mean, I don't know. You chose the words, all right? I just repeated them.
How dare you?
How have you been, Emma Skies?
I'm also tired from the same game of Minecraft. We have to stop. We have to stop this. It's too much.
I know, because you guys are doing what you're playing, and I distinctly did not play the theme song.
Too late.
We talk
Too
about
late.
This every week. If the podcast
every
gods
time.
Happened to bless us with a theme song. Oh, no! Look
oh,
at
dear
that.
God.
It's getting early. What? Podcast gods. I didn't even introduce
didn't
my last
even
guest.
Introduce.
You can't. The podcast wow. gods what dictated. If I were to introduce Eddie Villanueva from the Filmosophers right now, the podcast gods might smite me down. How you doing, Eddie?
How's it going, man?
You look good, man.
I'm rested, I guess, is a good word. I pretty much woke up and didn't do diddly squat today, so I'm good to go.
I wasn't going to say anything, but you look like you just rolled right out of bed, man.
I pretty much did. I rolled out of bed, rolled downstairs, put on a bunch of movies, vegged out, and came here.
Oh, good day. That sounds like a good day.
It was a great day.
But the podcast gods, I can't talk to you anymore, Eddie, because the podcast gods did say we have to play this round of what you're playing. So we'll start with Emma Skies, who has been doing really good. She's been on a tear lately. What you been playing?
Minecraft.
Minecraft.
And more Minecraft. And a little bit of We Happy Few, but mostly Minecraft. We can't stop.
Why?
I don't know.
You guys
I do
already,
not understand.
Okay, I watched some of the stream last night with Emma and David. Thanks for the invitation, by the way. I watched it, and I was pissed. I saw your faces, and I was freaking pissed. Because you're playing wrong. You're not playing Minecraft right.
Oh?
Uh-oh.
You guys were playing with a certain someone who I will not mention on the stream.
terrible.
He's been VGB. He's been VGB blacklisted.
That's racist.
Wow. Now you gave it away.
The fact that you said it's racist you went gave there. It away.
You went there. But anyways, how come he has God mode enabled where he can just teleport everybody around where he wants?
Oh.
Like,
oh.
You guys are totally cheating.
No. Do you want me to tell you why he has that enabled?
There's no reason.
Oh, there's reason.
There's no reason.
So we went on an adventure.
There's no reason.
We were trying to find this mansion that was located in the middle of the woods. And in order for you to get these Minecraft mansions to spawn, you have to go at least 10K blocks. Okay?
Okay.
So we got horses, we got boats, and we just went. We just went for it.
You went on a full-blown Minecraft adventure. Full-blown. 10,000 blocks long.
Fellowship of the Rings adventure, okay?
Wow.
We come through a mountain pass, and we're walking, and we're going, and all of a sudden I hear Aaron go, whoa, 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 hang on. And I catch up to them, and there's a cliff. It's just a straight drop. There's no, like, blocks where you can kind of make your way down. It's a straight drop.
With water at the bottom.
Miss Bloodless over here decides, huh, bam, smacks Aaron with her sword, knocks him off of the cliff. He falls. He explodes. He doesn't just die. His stuff went everywhere.
Wow.
I've never heard him so mad in my entire life.
Are you kidding? Really?
No.
I am not kidding. He was pissed. He was seconds away from just deleting the realm. Just done. We're done with Minecraft. I'm deleting the game. Where it's over.
In my defense, he spawns. There was water at the bottom that I thought he would land in.
Okay. It's physics. If you hit water at that speed, you're going to explode.
One block of water saves you in Minecraft. He hit the ground. I thought he was going to hit the water.
So he spawns. Not only does he not spawn at our base, he spawns at the starting point of the realm, which was at least a few hundred blocks away from our base, which is at least 10,000, 1,100 blocks away from where we were. So the only thing that saved it was Strider in Emma's chat said, wait. He can teleport. He just has to turn on creative mode. So he was able to teleport to the coordinates.
All I'm getting out of this is, don't stand near the edge of anything while with Emma.
Don't stand near the edge of anything.
That's a fair point.
Don't go near fire with Emma, because then they went on a rampage where she started lighting stuff on fire in the village.
She killed my horse.
Don't be in front of Emma.
John Wick,
take
it easy there.
Yeah, she did. It was
John Wick.
The best part of it was that after Aaron came back and killed my horse, went silent.
I didn't know what was that. Was that her name?
Fuck off.
That name didn't mean anything to me.
Terrible. After my horse was heinously murdered, I just went quiet. I didn't say anything for 20 minutes. And I was just listening to them freak out. Well, you and Steven.
Yeah.
Freak out about what I was going to do. Because I was like, I wonder if I can just freak them out by not saying anything. I wonder what they'll think. Webb was going to lose it. Webb cannot take the silent treatment. He cannot.
Number one. Maybe. Number two, my house had just burnt down due to poor construction, and so I was rebuilding, and it already took me 8 hours to build the original house, and I'm in the middle of rebuilding, and she's walking around with fire. I was concerned.
That's a fair point. Well. But we've already been on this for too long, so we'll...
I mean, there's a few things we can dig into. Before, we had talked about our alignment chart. And I'm looking it up right now.
So while you're looking that up,
she definitely
I'm
with that one instant. No. as a very strict chaotic neutral myself, that is not behavior I would condone.
You have bad days.
You've moved to.
Is there something past chaotic evil?
I'm looking at the chart.
Diabolical evil. Oh, you're talking about an.
I think she might be lawful evil, but no, that was pretty weird. Yeah, you're definitely in the evil sector.
I cannot be pigeonholed, all right, into one category. I'm a very complex individual.
She's a diverse evil.
Yes, let's go with that.
Yeah.
Here's the kicker, is after the fact, her and Aaron had the audacity to be like, Steven, Webb, why are you guys freaking out? It's fine. Everything's fine now. It's okay. Freaking sociopaths.
Oh my God.
Sounds
well,
about right to me.
I think Emma, you're a special person. That's for sure.
This is true.
Where I come from, though, from a very disciplined, old school style of Minecraft, back in the Java days, mind you, I joined some very hardcore servers, where it was PvP, and regardless of what happened or what kind of mission you were on or where you spawned at, like, you had to deal with the circumstances. There was no change it to God mode to fix it. And that was what made you think about what you did in that game a little bit more, because, like, imagine if Aaron couldn't have just, I mean, that rando stranger couldn't teleport back immediately. Like, he would have been a lot more mad, and it would have cost you guys hours.
Oh, he would have just deleted the server, like, completely.
Yeah, 100%. It would have been gone.
So, yeah. You guys are, you definitely broke the game, but.
It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's fine.
We had fun, and that's all that matters. Cool.
That was the. Okay.
Anyway.
Corey, what you playing?
That's the millennial answer.
She just said we all had fun and that's all that matters. That's not what video games is about. Video games is about torture and winning.
And that's exactly what last night was for me. It was torture.
And no winning.
What you been playing, David?
Minecraft.
Recap. House burned down.
Yeah. What about your WoW updates, though?
That's right. Yeah. So, been playing WoW a little bit. I am level 16. I don't know if I'm playing it right. I'm just kind of going around and going to different places. I ended up somehow in the part of the world that's controlled by the undead. And I'm actually, like, kind of best buddies with Sylvanas right now. I'm kind of like her right-hand man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just saying. And I've been doing a lot of missions for her. And, yeah, it's fun. But I played with Squiggles. And he said to not judge this based off of, like, don't judge the game based off of this. Because I'm just playing the free version. And the free version is, like, a notch above playing vanilla, basically. Okay. So if I want to get the full experience, then I actually have to put some money into the game. From what I've heard, if I pay for like 1 month, which I think is like $15 of game time, then it unlocks more of the game. So I'm going to be able to see more of like what it's like, which I might just drop that $15 to see what the actual game is like.
This is going to be fascinating watching your journey into WoW, because the more and more you talk about it, the more and more it is sounding like drugs.
You got the free little bump, and then you're like,
but then my buddy told me that if I really want to get that high, if I want to chase that next level, it's only $15.
It's funny that you say that, because that's how I've been approaching it, and I'm really trying to skirt the edge of addiction with this game, because I know it's very easy to become addicted to it, so I'm like really kind of trying to, I'm jumping the line a little bit.
8 months later. Did you hear Webb left his job because he's at home just playing WoW? He's dropping like $50 a month. And he's
had a raid. I was so close to leveling up.
He had Cheeto dust all over his nose.
Exactly.
Gotta get that bump, Cheetos.
Gotta get that bump with the gamer stuff and the Cheetos. Eddie, what have you been playing, man?
Still working through the Arkham trilogy. So.
Hey.
Nice. I finished Arkham Asylum a week and a half ago. Just started up Arkham City, about 50% the way through that right now. And
what's that experience like when you are replaying a series and then you go from like the first one to the second one?
You know, it's kind of like I enjoy it still, but I find myself kind of jumping the gun on certain things. Like, you know where certain parts of the gameplay is going to go, and you proactively go that way without allowing the story to lead you that way. And you're like, why isn't this working? This trapdoor should be opening for me and blah, blah, blah. And, but it's still a great experience because of the fact that it's a game series that I actually really enjoyed. So, I mean,
I had that experience. I, started replaying Fallout 3.
Yeah.
You ever play Fallout 3?
Oh yeah.
And there's like, when you get to, what's the town with the bomb in it?
Megaton.
Yeah,
the very first town.
Yeah, the first town.
Yeah, and there's that guy in the suit in the bar.
Yeah,
So like, I had played it before. So when I replayed it, I walked in. I was like, nope. And I just lit the guy up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's messed up. I don't know. So you gonna play the whole thing, or what is this building up to? What's the crescendo? What's in it for you?
Nothing really. I mean, I'm just ultimately going back through and finishing the game fully at 100%. So all the side missions, all the riddles, all the main play, the main missions, getting all the little clues and whatnot. I just ultimately want to knock it out 100%. Same, which I did that for Asylum. I got all the riddles. I got all the clues. I made sure to grab everything. So by the time I finished, it was like at 100%.
And, City's so much bigger, though. That's such a that's like a much bigger monster to tackle.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to figure. I'm right at the point where I'm helping Mr. Freeze find his wife, so that's about midway through. And yeah, I got maybe about 35-40% of it done. I just gotta kick it in high gear.
All right, all right.
Yes, sir.
Very cool.
And Corey, what have you been playing?
Oh my God! Thank you so much for asking. People often forget that I have feelings too.
David. I did say, what are you playing? And then you said, Eddie, what are you playing? So I was like, all right, well, I guess we'll come back to
it. Okay. Court. I missed it, so I'll have to go back and listen. On my second listen. it's been...
It's one been, week.
Yeah. 1 week since you looked, didn't That's how we know each other too well. I didn't get to play too much more We Happy Few. I'm still like at the beginning of that. I've been playing that exclusively on my Shadow PC, by the way, where it does run crystal clear. And I have it like on the side at work, and I would try and play through it like as a video was rendering, or, you know, I had a little lull in the day. But that's a game that requires too much attention. So if I look at it for 15 minutes and then go do something for 2 hours and I come back, it's like, oh, shit, what was I working on?
I have no memory of this.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've been like... Like games like Dragon Ball Z and stuff like that are perfect, but unfortunately I can't play We Happy Few while I work. But besides that, Overwatch, Lucio Ball came around. I placed my alt account, and it turns out I'm a god pretty much. I placed in Diamond.
Holy crap.
I had no idea I was going to place in Diamond, and I was playing with like Platinums, and that's who I was ranking with. And then when I got my first ever Lucio Ball final ranking thing, and now I take it super serious.
Oh, God.
Now I'm like in ranked, and care because I'm like, then I realize, holy shit, I could be in Masters by the end of the week. If I pick up like 200 SR every day, and then maybe I'll be in games with pros, and I'll have legitimacy, and then I could be esports.
Yet we're the addicts.
I didn't say I wasn't an addict.
Credit where credit's due. I did sit in on one of your Lucio Ball matches. You are kind of bomb at, especially being goalie.
Like, oh, yeah.
It was just like nothing. You were like a wall. You were like...
That's where I thrive, man. Yeah. Pocket Asian was... I did stream a little bit of it, too, and there was a dude named Tough Luck who was carrying me for a few matches. But I love Lucio Ball. I'll mourn when it's gone, and then I have to go back to ranked. Like, I accidentally on stream queued up for regular comp while I was playing Lucio Ball. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, I got to get some water. Let me just hit Q. Boop, ran, came back, and I was in the middle of a regular match.
Oh, no.
And, like, it was the worst match with toxicity. People were just, like, pointing fingers at each other, and the whole time I was just like, this should have been Lucio Ball. here I am but a gold, there I am a god. Why am I here? But the new map came out. There's also nice. There was also the D.Va featurette. Did you guys get a chance to see that?
Yes, that was good. My girl.
What'd you think, Emma?
So first of all, it was really good. It was so good, and I love that we got a look at like she's always in the fan base, kind of just this like childish little gremlin that the kind of fan base turned her into. And you kind of see that she's more of she's a fully fledged person. She has feelings.
She's a war veteran.
She has a past. She's affected by these things. What I wish is that the flashback that they showed had been the short. Like, I loved what we saw, and I loved her sort of interactions with Tae-hun. But I wish that the big, huge battle that they had talked about, that they barely made it out of, that had all of the whole, like, everybody in the group, I wish that had been what we got. Or at least that we had gotten something of that as well, instead of, like, a two-second flashback.
Yeah, so people who didn't see it, it's really good. It's worth, like, the 7 or 8 minutes of your time. It's a short. So you learn a lot more about the character D.Va, much like they did in the past with the Bastion one and the Reinhardt one. And who else did they have? I think they've done
it. They did one with Soldier, didn't they?
I don't remember.
I can't.
Wasn't that the one with like the street gang?
Hmm.
Yes.
I feel like that was. Yeah.
I don't know, but they're really good. They're batting 1,000 with these damn things. And they definitely paint her like in the picture of like, you know, she's like this super famous star, you know, that everyone knows and loves, but she's so down to earth.
Right.
She doesn't go to the parties and, you know, she actually builds the mechs herself and things like that. And they hit that home and they introduce the potential of a bunch of new like characters whole new lore, basically.
A whole new, mecha squadron.
Yeah, it's basically what's the movie where they fight the kaiju?
Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim.
It's very Pacific Rim.
You're right. It is. I got that vibe.
There's like a little group of like five of these mechas, all like D.Va, but slightly different. And then they're constantly fending off the Omnic invasion or something like that. And but they show little glimpses of like the television show she's a part of. And there's these other mechs. And so inevitably, everyone online wants to know more about these characters. There's already cosplays going on.
Yeah.
They're trying to like, oh, is this going to be one of the next characters? But they introduced someone that Emma seemed to be quite fond of, too.
Oh, I love him. Tae-han.
Tae-han was like her assistant or?
Her friend. I don't know that I'd call him an assistant. I couldn't tell if he was on the team or...
I think he was, like, their computer guy. Like, he's the guy on the ground.
He's the guy on the chair.
He's the guy. He's, the guy he's their the guy chair. Friday.
But, like, it was one of those where, like, I saw him on screen and I was like, oh, no. I love him. Shit.
What did you like about him so much?
I like his personality.
He's cute.
He's so cute.
Yeah, you go to Emma Sky's Twitter and then let us know if that's what you think. Seems like a little more than that. But the new map is, what's it called?
Busan.
Busan.
Which is a city in Korea.
It's loaded with little Easter eggs that are super fun. Like, if you're Reinhardt it's a control map, so there's three, like, smaller maps in it. And one of them is, like, a karaoke bar. So if you're Reinhardt, he can go up there and actually sing karaoke.
That's cool. With it.
It's pretty dope. And then in the other side of that map, there's like a Dance Dance Revolution game. And you can go there and you actually can play it.
I really hope that there's a thing because D.Va has that dance emote. And like, I hope something happens if you go on the D.E.R. pad and do the dance emote.
I think if you go in there and do any of the character dances, you automatically will like get 100% on the game.
Sick.
It's like showing your score the whole time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's super fun map. I think that's going to be good. And again, like Blizzard just kind of comes out of nowhere with these. Like you just wake up in the morning, go to their Twitter account, and it's like bam, bam, back to back.
I mean, it was Gamescom.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was Gamescom.
Which we have a lot of Gamescom stuff to talk about today, right?
We do.
Let's see.
Oh, God, here we go.
Are you guys ready?
Oh, God.
All right. I think we're going to need to pull together. Webb, can you lay down a little...
Why is this taking
a little
so long?
Beat.
Oh dear God. Oh dear God.
I'm a little worried.
Yo, Emma's telling the news.
Oh, that was so much worse than I was expecting.
I was really vibing off the beatbox.
You lulled me into a false sense of security by not, like, singing my name over and over. And I was like, oh, this isn't bad. Oh, dear God.
Dog barking in the microphones.
Yikes.
I'm always trying to raise the bar on this show.
Emma, bring the news.
Oh, let's not. I'm going to hand the iPad off. Yes, Gamescom was this weekend. Moving on from whatever that was. Gamescom, which we talked a little bit about on Wednesday, but we didn't get too much time. So we're just gonna go over more of it today because it's pretty much, we talked about this last week, it's pretty much European E3.
Yeah.
With, you know, a pretty solid level of announcements coming out of it. We'll recap a bit of what we talked about last time. We talked about new games and release dates. So we've got the Dark Pictures Anthology coming from the creators of Until Dawn. Life is Strange 2 got its first trailer. Shenmue 3 got a release date after like 16 years, I think, 16, 17 years. Yeah. Desperados, Breach, Settlers, Sekiro got a release date. Devil May Cry 5 got a release date. We talked about that last week, so if you missed that... Go back to last.
Listen to the last episode.
Listen to the last episode.
There's plenty of other reasons too. We had a special guest on the show, the fox, the wolf,
yeah,
the holly people. Holly Thunderwolf.
There you go. So you got there eventually.
Fox. Yeah.
Fox and the Wolf.
But we didn't talk about too much about the new trailers and gameplay we got. Was there anything that you guys like saw that you were super excited about?
No, this is where my FOMO has been really kicking me in the ass. That every time I go on Twitter and I see friends of mine who are there, I just get more mad that I'm not there. So I've been doing a really bad job keeping track.
Anybody else? You guys?
Same.
All right, fair enough. So one of the first things I have on here is we got a new trailer for Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which is very exciting as a fan of Shadow of the Tomb Raider. But part of it, I believe, and the same with Battlefield 5 trailer, is that they were using that to advertise NVIDIA's new graphics card, which we were talking about before the show.
Yeah, that new graphics card costs like $1,200.
$1,199.
But oh my god, if you haven't seen what they put out from Battlefield 5 using that graphics card.
Is it pretty incredible?
It's so good. The RTX 2080 Ti. But one of the things I was reading about was from PC Gamer. So they said the headline feature of this is really around something called ray tracing, which I've never fucking heard of.
Please inform me.
So let's talk about ray tracing. So in short, ray tracing simulates how light behaves in the real world and allows for actual reflections. So previously, reflections could only reflect what was already on the screen, but now a shiny surface, whether it's water or a car or a mirror or a window, whatever, can reflect anything in the environment as you're moving around it.
Okay, so the way you kind of explain this to me is like the graphics will process what's in front of it 180 degrees, like in front
of you. Sounds like it, yeah.
But then you were talking about this new one. It's going to be able to like render things that it's not even like focused on or something. I don't know.
Right. So what I was kind of, or the way I took it, I could be wrong about this, but the way I took it to mean is that, so basically now with current graphics cards, when you're looking at a reflection in a game, it's reflecting whatever's already rendered in the current screen. So if you're looking at, you know, if you're looking forward, there's a window on your left, it's reflecting whatever is in your peripheral on the right. Now, and the way they showed this off was with an explosion. So now when you're looking at something in a reflection, it's rendering whatever's behind you, whatever's around you, whatever would happen to be in that area. So like in the Battlefield 5, I think it was, that you're hiding behind a car and there's an explosion that goes off behind you and you can't see any of it, but you can watch the whole thing happen in the reflection in front of you.
Whoa.
And it's so pretty. It was so pretty.
Do you think that this is going to have an effect on the size of games? Because, like, for me, thinking of it from a developing standpoint, and coming at this with zero developer background whatsoever, I feel like as a developer, if I didn't have to,
with no developing,
but no developing skills,
if I didn't have to program that scenery because it wasn't going to be seen anyway, then I wouldn't, because save time and save space for the game. But now,
so I get just to curtail where I think you're going is, yes, your download's going to now be 200 gigs.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
For a basic game.
Tetris.
Yeah. It's going to be super graphically intensive. Yeah. Like, it's going to use a lot more of your GPU. But they made this for that purpose.
Right.
So it's going to be able to run it.
So now you're going to have to buy the Xbox Double X.
Double X.
Yeah.
There you go.
Double XL.
I actually have been thinking seriously about buying an Xbox One X.
Do it.
Really?
I want one.
Are you just trying to, you know, steer me in the wrong direction?
No, I actually really want one.
Well, she did burn down Webb's house, so I'm just...
Webb burned down his own house.
Poor construction built down Webb's house, but we're past that.
You didn't get the proper permits, dude.
That's 100% accurate. Okay, follow-up questions. Number one, you are pro-PC, like whatever, raising the PC flag, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're talking about getting an Xbox One X?
Well, he hasn't always been.
He has an Xbox.
Well, he does have an Xbox. Here's the thing, though. He's basically a Netflix machine right now.
He wasn't always pro-PC.
He wasn't always. And I 100% agree.
I remember the time when you were the one who was really pushing for console more centric conversations here. And there were other people who would talk more on the PC end. But you were all console.
Yeah.
And then you kind of had that transition. But
I mean, I you get older, you get wiser. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a...
You start to lose bits and pieces of the brain, you know?
Man.
It's a little downhill.
Senzu beans in the chat.
So is the 1X just so Netflix looks nicer?
It's Two reasons, twofold, okay, that I'm trying to pitch my wife on. One, it'll be so much quieter. You know, the new one, it sounds like a jet engine. I have the original Xbox One, and it's freaking loud.
It's a little loud.
So I'm trying to, you know, talk her into, you know, letting me get it because of that. And then Red Dead Redemption isn't going to be having a PC port anytime soon, and there's no way I'm missing out on that game.
Okay. All right.
So Red Dead Redemption is a $600 game, as far as I'm concerned.
Actually, I saw, I did not click on the article. I just saw the headline on Twitter. Apparently, who was it? Whose game? I'm blanking on the name. Anyway, apparently there's a way to get a $200 Xbox One X right now.
How?
Please.
Please.
Is this another one of those Walmart mistakes online?
Let me find it. And I'll
you do that. You.
This is like when my aunt's nephew came over and told me that he knew a way to enter a code into an Xbox 360 to turn it into an Xbox One.
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah. He kind of is.
That's fantastic.
He was like 12.
It kind of reminds me of that time when Walmart accidentally posted the wrong price on their online. Or where was that? Was it in stores?
No, it was online.
It was online and sold, what was it, the PS4 or the PS3? They sold some console for like pennies
dirt
on the
cheap
dollar. And people were buying it up, and they sold like hundreds of them before they realized there was a mistake.
Oh.
They're just like, oh, we had a really good day of sales today. Everybody's buying everything. What's this? Why is this number so low?
It's like, people are buying this new Fandango console for how much? $25.
Okay.
What did you do?
So it's on GameSpot. Basically what it is GameStop is having a promotion. It's a trade-in campaign. So basically, you will get as much as a $300 credit when you trade in a PlayStation 4 Pro.
So you'll get $3. You will get $3.
Well, I have to trade in a PlayStation 4 Pro, right?
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Why would you trade in a PlayStation 4 Pro for an Xbox One X?
So it says...
Well, I mean, that
give him a second.
Sense.
He's still reading. He's still reading.
Yeah. Oh, hey. No, you know what? $200 for an Xbox One original. To go towards an Xbox One X.
That's actually
That's not bad. Really
that's actually
good.
Not bad.
Yeah. So then from 500 to 300.
Now that still has to that still has to equate how much they're going to actually give you.
I was gonna say, is that up to $300 or is it $300?
I think they have to say up to because if you bring in hang on. Only because if you bring in a like banged up Xbox One and they say, okay, well we can only give you $100 for this and you're like, well online it said 200. Well, yeah, if it's in good condition. So they say up to X amount.
GameStop is kind of notorious for doing the up to and going on the lower end of that.
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Ruru 2 in chat just said GameStop is the movie pass of video games.
We're just all waiting for it. We know the ship is sinking, but
to their credit, I have not felt cheaped out on when I traded in a console. I traded in my original Xbox One towards the Xbox One S, and I felt like it was a good deal.
Someone in chat says they did the same thing for their 360 to the One, and the says the GameStop honors it if it's decent.
Yes.
So that's actually, I've been thinking about upgrading, because mine, I have the same one you have, you know, very old. It's getting a little glitchy every once in a while. It holds up great.
Mm-hmm.
It's on its way. It's been through many moves across the country.
Yeah.
But it's getting there.
Well, I say me and you, Thelma and Louise ourselves into the Xbox One X. We'll both go in together.
Give me some time.
How much is the One X?
Like $500. Just $500 I don't have.
They are coming out with bundles.
A One X Mini.
So you can get an Xbox One X and a game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure my TV's 4K.
Mine's not.
That's
kind of the only reason to upgrade. Well, I mean, it is like quieter and smaller and all that, and it's going to load everything much quicker. But I think the 4K output is the
Number one.
Yeah,
the One S is not that much of a difference, like in terms of like quality wise and picture rendering and everything. If the 4K is the big one, but my TV's not 4K, so when I upgraded, I was like, it's not really worth it to me.
Have you seen the pictures of Shadow of the Tomb Raider, or not Shadow, Rise of the Tomb Raider running in 4K?
Yeah. No.
Holy fuck. If you get an Xbox One X and you have a 4K TV, please get Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Or Rise of the Tomb Raider. The second one. Rise of the Tomb Raider. Get all of them.
It's on
but
Xbox Game Pass.
The pictures of that running in 4K, holy fuck.
Is it that good?
It's beautiful.
Ooh. Actually, it is. I just saw it today. So my brother-in-law was over the house, and we ran through a lot of the recent stuff that was dropped at GamesCon. And, yeah, it looks really good. We have a 4K TV at home.
Oh. Ugh, I want a 4K TV so bad. I want a 4K OLED TV.
Super Bowl season. That's the time to buy them.
Yeah. Black Friday.
Yep. What else we got?
Right. So then we got a bunch of new trailers. A little of these we talked about last time, but not most of them. So we'll go through it again. Shadow of the Tomb Raider we talked about. Battlefield 5, new trailer. Fallout 76, new trailer. Metro Exodus got new trailer and new gameplay. Let's see. Darksiders 3 got new trailer. Sinking City, Ace Combat 7, The Quiet Man, The Crew 2, Trials Rising. All of these are new trailers. If you like any of these games, go find them. Did any of you guys play Ori and the Blind Forest?
No.
Wow.
It looks beautiful.
You are missing out.
I've seen people stream it. Does that count?
I mean.
I feel like I should get partial credit.
I mean.
I think I might have watched Fork My Life.
She went through it. Yeah,
I think I saw her stream it.
So you, I feel like you like emotional games.
I do.
I'm a
very emotional person.
You would love this. It will make you cry over and over again.
I don't know if I need more reasons
to
cry.
It's so good. But Ori and the Will of the Wisps is finally coming out. It was announced at E3. And we got new gameplay for that, and there's a new mode. If anybody in chat has played it, there's going to be a new mode where you can basically race against yourself and others called Spirit Trials, where it does the thing pretty much where it puts like a ghost on your screen, and it shows their run through, and you basically race against them.
Like Mario Kart.
I was just going to say, like Mario Kart.
You call it Mario Kart?
Yep.
Mario.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that was the big announcement we got from that. I think we still don't have a release date on that one, which is obnoxious. Speaking of not having a release date, fucking Cyberpunk 2077 was on everybody's best of list, and once again, nobody gets to see it.
What happened? Why?
I'm a little salty about it.
Why aren't they? Okay, so there's obviously a lot of like hype around this game because they made Witcher, right?
Massive hype, yeah.
So people are expecting like futuristic Witcher, and they've been promoting it for years.
Yeah.
So why do you think they're
so
like not doing it?
They did this at E3 as well, which is annoying to me. Like, you did it at E3, why are you doing it again at Gamescom? So Cyberpunk 2077 has new gameplay, new trailers, like new screenshots, new all this, but it's media only. So you can't get in without a media badge, and they're not allowed to take pictures. They are not allowed to capture video. They're not allowed to do anything in there. They can come out and talk about it. So we can wait this week for people's articles to come out and their videos talking about it. But they will not let the public see it. And somebody that works at CDPR put out a statement basically saying, like, we're not ready quite yet. We don't, like, we wanted to let the media see it. We wanted to see how that would go. We wanted to see what they, you know, how they would react to it before we release it to the public. But he did that in June.
True.
Why are we doing it again in August?
But then I think from a marketing standpoint, I think giving people enough time to mull over and to pretty much forensically inspect every single aspect of what has been released gives people enough time, like people like you guys who are so invested in video games, to really comb through all the nitty-gritty of most of the gameplay and trailers that have been released, and then find the follow-up reaction like at GamesCon. So people who are truly invested into it, they're going to be like, okay, I'm going to go here and I'm going to be talking about it, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. People are going to be talking about it, but people may be bringing it up, and they're going to be like, oh, I want to see this, I want to check it out, I want to do this. And they're paying attention to that. They're like, oh, shit, everybody's actually really hyped about this. It's great. Sucks that we don't have information for them, but at least we know we can aggregate the information from them to help us know what the people are wanting.
So tell me this, Eddie. Compare the worlds of, because of course you are the host of the Filmlosophers podcast.
Yes, sir.
They air on
Filmlosophers.com.
Filmlosophers.com on the VGB Studios website.
That is.
You can go check out all the new episodes there. But so you're a specialist in the movie world. You just happen to play games. But when you see a big movie coming out, and you've known about this movie coming out for years and years and years, and then it's getting closer to release date, there's a couple little teasers out, but they're being a little more secretive than the typical game developer or movie maker. What does that tell you about the movie?
There's a couple things. So, for example, you look at films like the last great example of this was Solo. Solo was a film where it underwent so many changes, including a director change, losing two incredible directors and moving over to Ron Howard. Not to say that Ron Howard isn't a great director, it's just that he's not. But it's
hot take.
It's one of those things where as you begin to see a lot of the changes and you begin to wonder, because they did push back the release date for that. It went from a early year release date, from a December release date, pushed back to an early year release date, all the way to a beginning of summer blockbuster release date. In certain circumstances, there is cause for concern. There's cause for, like, okay, I don't know how Ron Howard reacts to something as vast and already established as the Star Wars universe. I don't know how he's going to make this work. I'm not sure, because the most he's ever done when it comes to space is Apollo 13, and that's it. So I don't know if he could handle, like, Wookiees and everything else in the vast galaxies far, far away. Now you take something like Avatar. Avatar by James Cameron. They've been pushing sequels for that for God knows how freaking long.
Five sequels.
Yeah, they're announcing more and more sequels, and they're like, oh, we're also planning to do this and this and that. And we're like, you know, well, we just want a singular sequel from the first film. Here's the dilemma with that. James Cameron is an incredible director. Avatar is his jam. You saw the first film. The man made magic on film with everybody who came in there. The film was incredible. I have no doubt that the film is going to be great. I trust the hands that the film is in, and I trust the studio that the film is in, because of the fact that James Cameron is so invested into this that he's going to make sure that what comes out, no matter how long it takes, is going to be prime stuff. So I think in contrast to what you guys are talking about with this, with forgetting the name.
Cyberpunk. Yeah.
I think it goes down to, do you trust the studios? And I saw a comment in one of the things that they were saying, that the studio actually does really great stuff.
Yeah.
And if there's trust there, if you can actually say, I have enough evidence in my mind to know that whatever these guys drop, it's going to be bomb, even if it takes a little bit of time, then I would be...
So don't read in too much to that. Because, like, my thought was, like, I was in a little bit of the review business, like, yeah. You were.
Oh, yeah.
And
I only got into the review business because of you.
I mean...
I'll make your head big every time.
That. You don't got to say all that. But when it goes to a stuff and, like, you know, they're pretty open and they're like, hey, why don't you come through and check it out? And they open up, you know, for early advance tickets because they want it to be reviewed because they know what they have is good.
Yep.
But then sometimes when a movie comes around, like a Justice League or something, where you notice that they're, like, really being closed off about who they're showing it to, I'm like, maybe because they think it sucks and they don't want it to get, like, destroyed in the reviews before it comes out.
Now, in that event, in that mindset, yes, if there's a track record of already issues going on. Here's the thing, though. Who can best eloquently express how great something is other than anybody whose job or industry is writing words? It's like, I write movie reviews aside from what I do on the podcast. It's the difference of, like, if somebody, some just random Joe Blow, goes to a movie press screening and is like, oh, that was cool, that was really awesome, I love the graphics. And I come in there and I'm like, honestly, this film is breathtaking. The cinematics are so incredible, and the artistry of the actors and the filmmakers who put all their heart into it, I can express that a lot better than if somebody just walked in there and be like, bro, that was tight.
Well,
that
look at Rotten Tomatoes. What are you saying that I should pay more attention to? Because movies are definitely your specialty. I'm a mark when it comes to anything. Like, I'm just into it. I'm whatever. Yeah. But so when I go to Rotten Tomatoes and they have the critic score
and the
fan score,
you got to find your trusted sources. You got to find people you can actually lean on in terms of, like, for me personally, I write reviews, but I also have people I lean on for understanding movies that haven't come out yet. Like, I will find out when a screening goes down in LA, and as soon as the movie's done, I will call up people out there and be like, tell me the rundown, what's going on? And if they're like, bro, that was shit, I'll be like, okay, I know what to expect. And I go in and my bar is low, but I'm still open. And if it resonates with me as shit, then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna write it up as shit.
Yeah.
But if they're like, seriously, this was fun, it was so engaging, it was awesome, you should check it out, at least give it a little bit of a chance, you know, maybe see if it's your jam, I'm open to it. You got to find people that you trust. You got to find reviewers that you trust. There's a very limited amount of people that I actually trust when it comes to movie reviews, because I have such a unique palette for it. My tastes go from, like, Sharknado 6 to stuff like Casablanca. I'm all over the place. But it has to kind of resonate with me. And if I find people who resonate with me, I'll trust them in what they tell me.
I agree. I think that goes like way more, like people like to sit there and bash about like, oh, IGN reviews are all bad and all the ones from my favorite website are good.
Yeah.
That's totally not true. Mm-mm. Like IGN has some really good writers but that's the first thing I look at when I go to a review is who is this reviewer? If it's someone I don't know, I'll kind of take it for a grain of salt and then, you know, compare off of that. But if it's some of the Moriartys or whatever who's been around forever and wherever they go, you follow them and then you just have your source. Like it's over a track record of time. You can't just see one review that you don't agree with and then bash 100%. That entire website.
True. Like just to kind of mention one of the guys that I talk to all the time, and I think you know him, JD.
Yeah, JD.
JD is straight, true, and honest when it comes to movies. Like, I'll even forget that he has a screening, and he'll hit me up at, like, 11 o'clock at night. He's like, bro, just got out of this. I'm like, okay, how was it? He'll give me 12 messages of, like, just his thoughts and ideas on the whole film, and it'll be blunt, and it'll be like, this is what I thought. Shit. Knock yourself out. Take it what you will. And I trust that because of the fact that I know his thoughts, his mindset is similar to the way I look at film, so I trust that. And however, whomever is going to review it on their site, I know his perspective is pretty key. Just like Frosty with Collider. Not everybody on Collider I agree with, but I can agree with Frosty because Frosty's a good guy. I've actually worked with him. And, you know, Umberto is another guy that I've worked to, and he's got great ideas and great insight into films. And so limited amount of people.
Emma, what do you think about the review thing in general? Like, and like you have strong opinions about like, you know, the movies that you watch, and you watch the all those television shows, and you have your little check boxes and that you do like.
I'm real into the award season.
You can have that.
You should be getting into this stuff, Emma. But how do you go about reviews?
I don't review things because I don't pretend to not have a bias. I'm like, I'm not going to review this and be like, well, let me be fair about it. I'm like, I fucking hated this. I fucking love this. I make no apologies. It doesn't make sense that I hate X and like Y.
Well, let me stop you there. But that is, to me, how a good journalist is.
I agree.
Because I watch specific reviewers, like how we talked about, because I know what their biases are and I agree with them.
Yeah.
Like when you watch those Dunkey reviews, too, like he stays pretty true, but he calls people out like for not holding true to their biases. Like he says, I hate platformers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate turn-based combat. So why would you watch, if you know, anytime I review something about turn-based combat, I'm going to list that as a negative.
Yeah.
But you may love that.
Yeah.
That's why you trust in those reviewers. So far you're 0-1. Now, why aren't you reviewing stuff?
And he's got a great point because of the fact that if you don't have a bias, you don't have a personality, plain and simple. If you're going to come into it and you're going to be like, I'm just super neutral, I'm just somebody.
You're lying. Like, don't trust those journalists.
Like somebody in the chat just mentioned, you know, rest in peace, John Schnepp. John Schnepp is a guy, great guy in the industry, unfortunately passed away recently. But his perspective is he loved monster movies and he loved great, unique cinema that not everybody really gave a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so his whole shtick was he loved to bring people in to understand like monster movies and horror film because he knew not everybody liked them, but he tried to help them understand. If you have a bias, that is where your personality begins. And it's, you take that and you allow everything else to filter through. Because if I wanted to hear your general whatever thoughts on a film, I'll go to anybody.
You can go to anybody.
I'll turn to anybody on some random website and be like, all right, that's the same thing she would have said. But it's you and your perspective and your bias that help make your personality become your voice.
It kind of jumps into those things like, too, there's a whole market for like mom reviewers. That's how like those mom bloggers, because people want to see like a mom's biased perspective of whether they should do it. So continue, because I want to see the Emma Reviews podcast.
I don't know. And part of the other part of that is that I don't necessarily always want to have to list reasons for why I like something. Like there are certain things that I feel very strongly about that this is incredible and XYZ, this is why, and this is terrible and this is why. But sometimes it's just like I want to like something and it's just because I like it. I don't want to explain why. I don't want to delve into it. I just want to be like, I just like it.
And that can be a part of it. I mean, you don't have to see.
I think that's where the line is. Like when you're a reviewer, you're expected to give your opinions on why.
Right.
Like if you say this mouse or keyboard or whatever, because most of the stuff I did was tech reviews. Mm-hmm. I couldn't just go on there and be like, the Intel micro PC is trash. Period. 2 out of 5.
Click here to buy.
If sometimes if that's where it comes into, like some people really get off on writing 12 text messages of yep. what they thought, and others just liked it.
And then it's just the fact that like I'm like, it sounds so self-deprecating, but I'm like, who cares what I think about this thing?
Oh, see,
but like,
wow. Now you're getting
it
you
sounded
know,
self-deprecating.
Let me get my violin out so we can play.
But it's like, honestly, there's, you know, a million other people that are doing it. I'm like, who cares what I think? I'm just going to play the game.
As guys, that's why people care.
Here's the thing. There are going to be 11 million other people.
I care.
There's 11 million other people who do reviews out there, but I only listen to maybe three or four. There's going to be those people who only put you in their only four. There's going to be people who only put Corey in their only four or
God
David.
God help their souls.
So, yeah, honestly. But it's like you got to remember, you have an audience already. So jumping into it and starting it, you'll build that like almost instantaneously. And those people who already enjoy your banter here on this show, however it may be, whatever, it'll carry over into that.
How did this turn into me starting reviews?
I don't know.
How did we get here?
This was essentially a branding intervention.
Yeah, this intervention. Yeah. This whole thing was just a ruse to get you here.
Apparently.
From the beginning. That's the only reason why you've been on the show this long.
All right, let's continue. What else we got?
Sorry, I just put away the notes. Let's get back to it. Okay, so we talked CD Projekt Red and we talked that. We talked, what was it, Smash last week,
yes.
On Wednesday.
Yes, queen, yes.
So the quick recap on that, how dare you, is that they gave us new gameplay with Dark Samus, Crom, and King K. Rool. Another fighting game we got that gave us new people was Jump Force. This one's for all the weebs.
Ooh, that's like the Smash Bros. 4 anime.
Weebs.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I remember that.
Who'd they give us?
Okay. So they gave us, I'm going to butcher some of these names.
Do
I apologize.
It.
Gon and Hisoka from Hunter x Hunter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, my favorites.
Yeah.
Love
Vegeta.
Them.
That's
oh,
one I
actually
know
that one. Yeah,
right.
There we go.
I get that reference.
And Sanji, Sabo, and Blackbeard from One Piece.
Oh, shit. OP.
Ooh.
Those are going to be the two god tier characters.
Yeah, those
so,
OPs.
If there's any weebs in chat, that's for you.
I think it's exciting. That trailer looked kind of weird. I don't know if it's going to be esports, so to speak, but I think it'll be fun. Fun little game.
Yeah, we'll see. And while we're on fighting games, the best fighting game in the world.
Well, oh, we just ran out of time.
There we go.
All of you, dead or alive, had some new announcements.
Why, Emma, why?
Because I love it. I love it so much. You know what? That's why I can't review, because I just fucking like it.
Because there's no good reason. Besides,
like
you
it.
Like it just to make everyone mad.
I love it.
I just know they had a horrible movie. That's all that matters.
Yeah, they did. So
she's proud of it. Yeah, they did.
Yes, they did.
Part of this, so actually a lot of what they showed at Gamescom was actually leaked before Gamescom, so we already
obviously
had seen screenshots of it, but they confirmed Lifeng and Hitomi. Hitomi is my bae. For Dead or Alive 6, we got new characters, we got new costumes, we got new gameplay. They announced a new character, Diego, who's going to be a Street Fighter like Rick.
Go, Diego,
who I
go.
Hate.
Go,
but,
Diego, go.
Yes, exactly. That Diego. I don't even know what that's from.
Diego?
No.
Isn't that
go,
boy?
Diego,
wasn't
go.
That boy Dora the Explorer?
That was Dora's cousin.
Dora,
oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
The one who got picked up by immigration.
Dang.
Oh, God. That's a dark episode.
Jeez. It was. It's very dark.
But yeah, so we got some new gameplay, and the more gameplay we get from this, the more excited I get, and the more like we see how much they're changing. Because we won't spend too much time on this. We've talked about this before, but Dead or Alive, I mean, the same reaction you guys all had. It's like
yeah.
the joke of the fighting game community.
Yeah, because it was always just over the top with the boobies. And
it
the,
is,
yeah.
And I was actually streaming it last Friday. I was streaming Dead or Alive 5, and I was talking about it in chat. I was like, you know, I love these games and I'm excited for 6 because they're taking all of this out, and it's like always annoyed me. And somebody in chat told me, they're like, you know, you can turn that off now, right? I was like, what?
No.
So I go into settings, and not only is there an on-off switch for breast physics, is
okay.
what it's, is what it's, or breast motion maybe, in the settings is what it's called.
We called it jiggle physics back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Yeah. I mean, it started with it. That's what they, that was their calling card. But it's not just on off, there's like levels. So what I had been playing on. Was
wait, what?
There's levels to this
of the, how much
of
they
how
jiggle?
Much they jiggle.
Wilding out just has them going all over.
It was
the
crazy because I was already complaining about it, how ridiculous it was, and I go into settings and it's set to natural on mine.
Okay,
so there's natural DOA, which is its own setting.
Okay,
because they know who the fuck they are, mm-hmm. and then LR was like the top setting, and so we messed around with those a little bit, and then somebody that was watching had a different version of the game that had another option that mine didn't have. It's just called OMG.
Oh, what? Oh,
wow. And sent me a video of it.
At that point, they're just extra weapons.
It was. I'm like, if these things don't do damage, what's the fucking point? Because this is flying everywhere. Like, this is... So the more
use at your own risk, because you can knock out yourself, apparently.
You really can. So the more I see of Dead or Alive 6, and you can physically tell how different it is. And it's amazing. I love it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we'll see if it can hold up. I wonder what
Boo Physics can do for Emma.
Yeah. Are you going to go to tournaments and stuff? Would you?
No,
can I take you to one?
She's like, I only fight on Boo Physics LR.
I would watch, but I wouldn't compete.
No, I mean, you know, you always go to the first one just to check it out. I think that's what we should do that. We should be like, we'll do an IRL stream where we take you to an actual tournament.
I'd go. That'd be fun.
You could see these people.
But for six. So that brings the confirmed roster for Dead or Alive 6 to Kasumi, Hitomi, Lifeng, Hayate, Hayabusa, Zach, Rig, Diego, and Jan Lee, for anybody that's keeping score.
I'm a main Diego.
You're a main Diego?
I'm not excited about him, because he's like the same level as Rig, and I do not like Rig.
It's just Diego's David in Spanish, so that's my only reason.
Is it?
Yeah. Isn't David David in Spanish?
Are there not people in Spain named David?
I'm actually... Hispanic, and I think it's David.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think, yeah.
Corey, can you second that?
Part of me.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, let the part of you.
A solid half of my being agrees with you.
David is actually looking this up on Google.
I am.
And then, we're not done with Gamescom. There's always more Gamescom. Just little stuff we got.
David in Spanish equals David in English.
Wow. So David is trying to Google translate the word David to Spanish. And shocker, it translates to David.
Blame public education.
I went to public school.
And it's still David.
To be fair, it's David in like everything.
It is.
Albanian.
Your
it's
name
David.
Is David.
Hmm. Well, the Gamescom news.
Your name
have.
Doesn't change when you go somewhere else.
Sure, it does for him.
It's the equivalent of.
It's like, not just, though.
No,
it's not.
What else did Gamescom give us?
We got some new ports.
Some new what?
Ports. Oh. Saints Row
new
3.
Ports, cigarettes. New ports.
Saints Row 3 is coming to the Switch next year. If that is something you've been hyped for.
I'm not currently a Switch owner anymore.
What?
Well, I had to send it to RMA. So finally, I'd gotten around to sending this thing. But my Switch was super defective.
Oh, oh, really? Was it?
Well, it had a common issue where the left Joy-Con would just randomly disconnect.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an actual warrantied thing. And yeah. I like signed up for it months ago. Never did it.
Hmm.
Because I just hadn't been using it.
Right.
But now that the good games are finally coming out, right. I'm getting ready. And I'm like, okay.
All those good games like Saints Row 3.
Oh, baby. Yeah, exactly. And then I pulled out the Switch, and it's got a giant crack on it.
Oh.
From about where the heat vent is all the way down to the kickstand.
Oh, snap. Oh,
wow.
I was like freaking out. I was bugging because I was like, okay, I know I travel with this thing and I jam it in the overhead compartment every once in a while and stuff. But did I really like rough it up that much to crack the damn thing? Like I was starting to think, did I step on it? What the hell? And then I went online, started searching, and apparently it's a very common thing.
Oh, shit.
And only a month ago, Nintendo wasn't recognizing it as an actual defect. They actually came out with statements being like, hey, we think this is just pretty random. So, you know, good luck, guys.
Yeah.
And then enough of them started happening. So by the time I called, got on the phone with a dude from Nintendo, he said, yeah, we'll fix that too. Like,
that's cool.
No charge or anything. So
nice.
They sent me a little sticker thing. I went to the FedEx, gave them the Switch with the box, and they sent it back. But the turnaround time's like 2 or 3 weeks.
Holy crap.
So currently I'm not in the land of the Switch owners, but if you guys have one and you're having issues with that left Joy-Con or you got a crack through the back, it is an actual defect that's like affecting, like, I think I read a third or something wow. of like people who bought from the original lineup of Switches.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go home and check mine now.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Well, when it cuts back, you can get Saints Row 3, and you can also get Brawlhalla. Well, I mean, not when it gets back. It's next year.
Oh,
okay. It'll be back by then.
And next year.
It'll be back by then.
Brawlhalla is also coming to the Switch and the Xbox One. It's one of those that I watch every once in a while, but I haven't played because it's not on Xbox. But that might be a fun one.
Which one?
Brawlhalla.
Which one is that again?
That's like a... multi-platform, like, fighting sort of thing.
Oh, like, gotcha. I do remember. Yeah. Okay. I haven't actually played Brawlhalla, but it looks good.
And the Hunt Showdown is coming to Xbox One. Don't know when, but it will be there.
Do you have a Switch yet, Emma?
I do not. I don't do Nintendo.
I mean, that's right. But nothing about these new games has you interested? Didn't you fire up Pokemon Go for the first time in a while?
I did, but I don't care about, like, Pokemon Eevee or Pikachu or whatever.
Why not?
I just don't care.
How can you not care? Did you play the originals growing up?
No. I didn't play Pokemon.
What?
I watched the shit out of it, but I didn't play it.
She's past that generation, I think.
No, everyone played it. Yeah. Everyone played it.
People still play it. Kids today still play them. Should I give her now? No, don't do that for her. She has to answer for her sins.
Like, she burned your house down.
She did not.
She didn't.
She did not.
To her credit.
No, I had a Game Boy and a Game Boy Advance and Nintendo DS, but I was just never on the Pokemon thing. I watched the shit out of the show, but I never played the game.
My wife plays the shit out of Pokemon Go, has zero interest in Let's Go Eevee or Pikachu, even though the games interact with each other. And it bottles my mind. I keep asking
her. It bottles your mind?
Puts it in a bottle and shakes it up.
Okay, Will Ferrell. Thank you.
But I feel like even if I was super hyped for that, I wouldn't buy a console just for that. Because I don't have an attachment to any of those.
He's buying it for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, I'm about to drop $500 on him.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't be as excited 300. For that as you are for Red Dead.
Okay, what about the other, like,
Like, I never played Zelda. I didn't play any Mario games. I didn't play Donkey Kong. Like, I was off Nintendo all the time.
But now it's time to start. You have no curiosity to go back to those?
Not really.
Wow.
I'm happy where I'm at.
I mean, you could always be happy where you're at, but I mean, that's not the question here.
I'm comfortable.
You're getting a lot of judgmental eyes right now.
I know. And it's my thing on the podcast. I always talk. Whenever we talk about Nintendo, I like, you know, I have to remind people I don't know Nintendo. This isn't my area.
She, yo, Nintendo.
You've seen that meme going around? I love it. It's the one that says, like, it says during sex. What you say to her.
Hurt me.
Hurt me. And then the next line is something that actually, like, emotionally hurts you.
And I don't play Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, but I was thinking, like, there was one going around. I think you got tagged in it. Someone had made... Camus, who was a former Energy CSGO team manager.
Oh, the Halo one. Oh, fuck him.
It was like,
no.
During sex, hurt me. And then it was like, there will never be another relevant Halo game. And then it was like, wait. Wow. And then the next line was like, yeah, they ruined it. They switched it to a new studio and its best years are behind it. Then the line is,
please stop.
Please stop.
Please stop.
But it's true. Wow. Like, I think
that's the thing. We didn't get anything about Halo Infinite at Gamescom.
Oh, why?
I don't know. I don't know.
But
I'm not a Nintendo person.
I think that meme hurt me a little bit inside because it does feel like that's the truth at this point.
I thought of you two when I saw that.
I don't know. Like, we'll see. We'll see what Halo Infinite is like.
We'll see what that is like. But, you know, there's like a classic treasure trove. Like, for you, there should never be an issue of, like, I have no games to play.
Oh, no, I have too many games to play.
Because there is an epic portion of Nintendo that is just waiting for you. A little treasure trove.
I have so much coming out now that I need to play that I don't have the time to go back and play 20 years of games that I don't particularly care about.
I don't know. We may have a dry spell one of these years and you'd be like, damn, nothing's coming out. Finished everything else. And, all right.
Oh, you want me to hurt you? Uh-oh. The only Nintendo console I've ever owned is a Wii.
That's not an accurate representation.
So disappointing.
I don't need another one.
That's like,
she's
saying,
like, I played tennis all the time.
Yeah.
Wii Sports.
Oh, that Wii Fit Yoga, that was my shit.
Oh, gosh.
Ouch. That's like saying the only Disney movie I ever watched is Mighty Ducks 2. I'm not a Disney person because that's...
Was it the Olympics one?
I don't remember. That's been a good show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this evening. If you are a podcast listener and you download the show week in and week out, stop by the Twitch every once in a while and say hi to us in person. You can actually chat in the chat. We react to the things. We actually do a full, like, bonus thing after the show where we just kind of talk and hang out. So you don't want to miss those. You can also help support the show on there in a little bit of a more direct stance. If you have an Amazon Prime account, you can link it with your Twitch account, go onto our show, and you can subscribe. It's free to you. It doesn't cost you any money, and yet it helps the show thrive. And do the great things that we want to continue to do. And if you're in the chat right now, guess what? This is a podcast you've been listening to. So you can go on to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podhound, Google Baby, Skull Fortress,
Overcast.
It's on Overcast as well. It's also on Cast Nation and Castica. And I think we still have a SoundCloud. Yeah, you know who this is.
Y'all know who this is.
So we're everywhere. You can go subscribe to the podcast, rate it 5 stars wherever you're at. That's how the show grows. That's how we get a little more notoriety. That's how we bring you more features. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Eddie Villanueva, Mr. Film Philosopher. Tell people where they could find that podcast.
You can find us on Facebook.com/Filmlosophers, on Twitter at Twitter.com/Philosophy101, and you can listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, Libsyn, Player FM, Audio Boom, Stitcher, and Spotify.
All right, you've really been practicing. I just make them up now.
Right.
Yeah. I figure.
It's become routine now. So.
Yeah. All right. It's a good show, guys. You should check it out. It's like a little education. And if you don't like Eddie, don't worry, because his co-host is way better.
Trust me. They're a lot funnier than I
am. Yeah. He's and better looking, too. Man,
true. 100%.
Chad is cute.
Sorry, he's taken, though.
Is he? Okay. Oh, I saw it. He went public. Good on him. All right. David Webb, what's your stream schedule looking like, homie?
I'm playing on Monday. Maybe going back to WoW. We'll see.
Ooh, yeah. Down the rabbit hole. All right. Sounds cool. And Emma Skies, I know you don't have a schedule, but what do you think it's going to be?
My schedule will be up tomorrow on Twitter, but you can catch me at twitch.tv/EmmaSkies this upcoming Friday, August 31st, where I will likely be doing a 12-hour stream for my birthday.
Oh, your birthday. How old are you going to be?
24.
The big 2-4.
24.
Wow.
What a baby.
Y'all should. You're old.
Well, damn. Shut up.
You've officially, how does it feel to be in the mid-20s?
Feels good. Feels good.
You're excited about it?
I feel like I've been an 80-year-old man for the last 10 years of my life. And I finally get to yell at teenagers now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. That's one of the things.
Next year, your car insurance will go down.
Yeah.
So close. I'll be able to rent all the cars.
All the cars you can rent without
paying
extra.
The last time I had to rent a car, the guy was looking at me. He's like, how old are you? And I was like, 23. And he's like, I was going to try and give you one of the good cars. But you're not allowed.
Nope. Here's a Chevy...
I got some sedan, I don't know.
2003 Chevy Cavalier.
There it is. Cobalt.
And if you guys enjoyed the show, you know, like I said, rate us up. I was going to plug something I'm doing, but I just got back from vacation, so I ain't doing shit. So, you know, you may catch me on a random stream from here to there. But other than that, I'm relaxing and just going to enjoy some games. So for the real David Webb, Eddie Villanueva, Filmlosopher, Emma Skies, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.